Generations of Americans walked around concerned that our country would get into a nuclear war with the Soviet Union. Now the Soviet Union is gone and the nuclear weapons stockpiles are smaller. But with Donald Trump in the White House, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists recently reset the doomsday clock to 2.5 minutes to midnight, the highest threat level they have perceived since the 1950s. Our next guest is also concerned but sees some opportunities as well. Joseph Cirincione is the president of the Plowshares Fund, which works to rid the planet of nuclear weapons. He'll appear by Skype Sunday at 4 at Straub Hall on the University of Oregon campus in Eugene, arranged by the Community Alliance of Lane County, or Calc Lane. Joe Cirincione, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
My pleasure, Jeffrey. Thank you very much for having me.
So I noticed you prepared the ground ahead of you. I read your guest opinion in the Register Guard last Sunday. You say that President Trump is uniquely positioned to make the world a safer place. Explain.
It's not all gloom and doom. There are some possibilities that Donald Trump could actually conclude some agreements that could reduce the nuclear risks. For example, one of the constants in his foreign policy, in addition to building a wall and crushing ISIS, is his idea that we have to improve relations with Russia. Well, that almost by definition would have to include a nuclear component. It always has. That is, Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump could agree on new arrangements to reduce the number of nuclear weapons both countries have. We have more than enough already. The U.S. and Russia have about 95% of all the nuclear weapons in the world. We basically have a lot of nuclear weapons because the other side has a lot of nuclear weapons. Both could safely draw down, perhaps cutting their arsenals by a third. In fact, it's only Republican presidents that have been able to negotiate and get Senate approval of treaties like this that make deep cuts. Ronald Reagan, H.W. Bush, W. Bush, each cut the nuclear arsenal by 50%. Trump could do the same. Here's one more possibility. Trump could actually negotiate a deal with the dictator of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. He said he's willing during the campaign that, and recently as president in an interview, that he's willing to talk to Kim Jong-un. Well, as a Republican, Trump has a great deal of latitude to engage in these kind of negotiations. If a Democratic president did it, he'd be accused of appeasement, even treason, but Trump could strike a deal. Probably not a deal that would convince the North Korean leader to give up the nuclear arsenal, but he could limit it, just freeze it where it is now with about 10 to 15 nuclear weapons and missiles that can hit Japan and North Korea but can't yet reach us. You get a deal like that and you've made the world a safer place. Trump could do that if he chooses to put his energies in that direction.
Why do you see Democrats as more susceptible to charges of appeasement, or is it just that the people who would say that of a Democrat just don't say it of a Republican?
Oh, so much of this nuclear arms reduction is about politics. The Republicans always attack the Democrats as being weak on defense, just as Democrats attack Republicans for wanting to dismantle Social Security. And so when a Democratic president tries to do something like this, the Republican Party blocks against him. Just look at Barack Obama's attempt to get a treaty with Russia called the New START Treaty. This was a very modest treaty that made really minor adjustments to both countries' nuclear arsenals. The Republicans opposed it in mass in the Senate when it came up for Senate approval in 2010. They didn't want to give the Democratic president a major foreign policy victory in an election year. And that worked. They blocked it until after the election and an all-out push by the president to get it approved with a handful of Republican votes by the end of that year. But when a Republican president does this, like Ronald Reagan, and talks about eliminating nuclear weapons from the face of the earth, he wins over most of the Republican Party. And, of course, the Democrats support those efforts. You might say that also another factor is that the Republican president has more confidence of Republicans. They trust a Republican president in deals like this more than they trust a Democrat. So it's largely these two factors: confidence in the president and politics that determined who can make what kind of deal.
Joe Cirincione, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the president of the Plowshares Fund, an organization that works to rid the planet of nuclear weapons. He is giving us a bit of a preview of his talk coming by Skype to Straub Hall on the University of Oregon campus Sunday at 4. You can join us on the Exchange now at 800-838-3760 to talk about nuclear weapons. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Joe, we had a long chat yesterday with the author of the book Indefensible, Paul Holden of Corruption Watch UK. He made the case that we are not safer with high levels of military spending, but the case is often made. And when it comes to nuclear weapons, both parties talk about modernizing the arsenal because the weapons are old. How does that argument strike you?
Well, during the fight to get the new START treaty approved, 41 Republican senators sent a letter to President Obama saying they wouldn't vote for the treaty. And remember, to approve a treaty, you need two-thirds of the Senate. So the president needed some of those Republican votes. 41 of them said they wouldn't vote for it unless the president pledged to modernize the nuclear arsenal. So Obama did. He promised to put more money into the arsenal. And as a result, we now have programs to spend about $1 trillion on new nuclear weapons over the next 25 years. That's an enormous amount of money, even for the defense budget. And it means we're going to replace every single bomber and missile and sub that we now have and every warhead with brand new versions of these weapons. Do we need to do that? No. We have about 7,000 nuclear weapons in our arsenal, and the Russians have about the same. This is, as one reporter recently tweeted, this is enough to destroy human civilization about 30 times over. And it's true. You don't need many nuclear weapons to destroy the world. A few hundred will do quite nicely, and we have about 7,000. We could safely come down. We could back away from the Cold War postures that we still have and still have plenty of nuclear weapons to deter any attack on the United States. And in so doing, we could save a lot of money. But many estimates are out there that if you just cut down on the modernization plans, you could save about $500 billion. That's money you could spend for other conventional needs or for needed social programs. So I would agree with your guest from yesterday. This money that we're wasting on these kinds of military programs don't make us safer. They make us weaker because it means we have less money to spend on the things we truly need.
So does anybody really talk in terms of retiring the older nukes in the arsenal and just letting it go at that, or does it always have to be replace what you retire?
Oh, in fact, we've been retiring for some 25, 30 years, thanks basically to Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan in the 1980s concluded treaties that for the first time eliminated entire classes of nuclear weapons. Remember in the 80s there was an arms race. Russia and the United States were deploying new nuclear weapons in Europe, medium and intermediate range weapons. He concluded a treaty that wiped them out. The United States and Russia destroyed 3,000 weapons, never replaced them. George W. Bush eliminated all the tactical nuclear weapons, the nuclear artillery pieces that the Army had, the nuclear torpedoes and depth charges and short-range rockets that the Navy had. We got rid of 14,000 nuclear weapons unilaterally, by the way, and then Russia did the same. And because of actions like this and other treaties, we've gone down from about 70,000 nuclear weapons in the world in the 1980s, the height of the Cold War, 70,000, down to about 15,000 now. That's still a lot of weapons, but it's a fraction of what we used to have. So, in fact, history has been that we have been getting rid of these weapons, and we're at an inflection point. Do we keep doing that, or do we start going back up again? Do we start pouring money into new nuclear weapons programs with money we don't have? We'd have to borrow this money to build these weapons. And do we start a new arms race? This is actually the point we're at right now. The U.S., Russia, China, in fact, all nuclear-armed states are starting to modernize their arsenals. Their weapons have been built 10, 20, 30 years ago, and they're wearing out. If that is unchecked, well, then we're back to the nuclear arms race that so terrified the world during the Cold War.
Joe Cirincione is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the president of the Plowshares Fund. He'll be appearing by Skype at Straub Hall at the University of Oregon campus on Sunday at 4. We've been talking about generally the large powers. Let's talk about some of the smaller countries, particularly North Korea, because it seems the more dangerous one at the moment. How do you think that situation should be approached?
I do think that's a very dangerous situation because you have a country that only has a few nuclear weapons. We think they have enough material for about 15 bombs, and by that we mean sort of atomic bombs, first-generation bombs, slightly larger than the ones that destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We have much bigger weapons. But the danger here is they might actually use them. that you have, you know, Korea is the most heavily militarized area on Earth. So you have over a million soldiers armed, ready to go, standing off across a border. A miscalculation, a shooting incident could ignite a war that could quickly go nuclear. So that's why you're so worried about North Korea. It's not that their weapons sort of threaten the world, but they threaten a nuclear conflict in a very densely populated area of the world. That's why it makes sense right now to see if the President of the United States could negotiate a deal that could at least freeze the arsenal and start to reduce the tensions in the region. You don't want a war starting by miscalculation, by accident, or bravado. And the kind of belligerent rhetoric you're currently seeing on both sides could turn into belligerent action, and that could lead to the first use of nuclear weapons in 72 years.
And now to Iran, Joe Cirincione, what are your thoughts on the Obama deal with Iran to hold off on a nuclear weapons program?
I've been doing nonproliferation and nuclear policy for about 35 years here in Washington. The Iran deal is the strongest agreement I've ever seen. It is by far the most rigorous, comprehensive, detailed agreement to stop the spread of nuclear weapons. It's probably the most significant national security agreement we've seen in my generation. And that's because it does two things. One, it stops a war. Remember, a few years ago, it was a question of when we were going to attack Iran to stop their nuclear program, not if. And if we weren't going to do it, it was going to be Israel. Nobody's talking about that now. We are not going to go to war with Iran, at least not this year. And the second thing is it stopped their program. It rolled it back. Under this agreement, Iran dismantled two-thirds of its centrifuges. They got rid of almost all, 98% of its uranium gas supply that they might be able to use to make material for a bomb. They took out the core of their plutonium production reactor, drilled it full of holes, and filled it with concrete. So this agreement stopped every possible pathway they could have to a bomb, including a clandestine pathway. So we have now an inspection regime in Iran that is tougher than anything we've ever negotiated. We have inspectors everywhere, cameras, sensors, seals on all their equipment. And what they don't get to see, our intelligence services are seeing. Iran is probably the most heavily watched country on Earth. So we can have high confidence that Iran is not going to get a bomb anytime in the next 15 years or so. And when some of those limitations come off in 15 years, well, it's up to us to try to find agreements that can replace them, that can extend those limitations, maybe even make them regionally. So right now the deal is working, which is why it has the support of the U.S. military, our allies, even people who used to oppose it, like Saudi Arabia, are now saying, keep the deal. It's working.
We have an email here from Richard No Town Given. He says, the guest is either naive on the side of foreign nuclear-armed countries or dumb. A deal with North Korea when the dictator of the North has just used a globally banned poison gas to murder his half-brother.
Yeah.
China is illegally claiming wide swaths of the Western Pacific Ocean and building islands for its military. No, America must maintain nuclear arms to the extent of the threat equal to that of the nuclear-armed antagonists. So writes Richard. Your thoughts, Joseph?
I don't think Ronald Reagan was naive or dumb when he decided to negotiate with the Soviet Union, despite the many evil things the Soviet Union has done over the years. I don't think Richard Nixon was naive or dumb to go negotiate with Mao Zedong, probably the biggest mass murderer in history. These are exactly the kinds of people you do negotiate with, not to make dumb deals, not to make naive deals, no, to make deals that rein in their power. Remember, we're the world's superpower. We have most of the cards in our hands. We have the ability to make agreements with countries like Iran that reduce their power, that rein in their ability to threaten us. Can you do the same with North Korea? Look, I don't want to kid anybody. This would be tough. This is an extremely difficult situation. But yes, it's exactly, since there is no military solution to this, there's no way to militarily defeat North Korea's nuclear threats. The only choice you have is to try to work out a diplomatic agreement.
We're down to our last minute or so, Joe, and I want to get your thoughts on, well, your thoughts on President Trump would seem to indicate that you're an optimist, indicating that he could come up with some reductions in nuclear weapons. But do you think we'll manage to get out of the age of atomic weapons without them being used again?
I wouldn't even place odds on it. I'm just pointing out the possibilities that are here with Trump. There's also risks, including the fact that this could be the first president since Harry Truman to actually use a nuclear bomb. And some of his loose talk, including just yesterday, has got to worry you.
You mean referring to deportations as a military action?
No, where he denounced the New START treaty as one-sided. Where he said that we had to build more nuclear weapons, that we were falling behind, that he wanted to be the leader of the pack. This kind of nutty rhetoric, it really is unnerving people in Washington, and it's unnerving our allies. So, if I was to put odds, I would say it's 50-50. I don't know which way this guy's going to go. And you could say that about every single one of his policies. No, he is so unpredictable, so unstable that you just don't know where he's going to go. And that's what makes our allies and many of our citizens so unnerved about this presidency.
Joseph Cirincione is the president of the Plowshares Fund, which is working to rid the planet of nuclear weapons. It's obviously a longer option than perhaps we thought at one time. He will appear by Skype Sunday at 4 at Straub Hall on the University of Oregon campus, arranged by Calc Lane, the Community Alliance of Lane County. Joe Cirincione, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.